have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hey, it's your Destiny Coach, Clarita Haddon Jackson, with Blue Flame Moments Radio Show. I want you to make sure you tune in right here to Elation Radio with Kimmy Kim to hear my show, Blue Flame Moments Radio Show. You can learn more about me at Clarita Music on all social media and tune in to Elation Radio with Kimmy Kim.
Me a while to get to this place. I'm so glad I'm in this phase, accepting all my flaws, embracing authenticity, 'cause there's nobody quite like me. Oh, I like being me. Who I'm created to be, original, not
here we are again, Jot Us a Live broadcast on Elations Radio. I am your host, Cynthia R. Bennett, and here on the Jot Us a Live podcast, we talk about issues dealing with domestic abuse and neglect in the community. Our platform is used to raise awareness, provide resources, and offer hope through educating, edifying, and encouraging. I want to thank our viewers for listening in and ask if this podcast helps you in any way or assists you or your family and friends or associates. The Jotasa organization is asking you to donate into this much, much needed cause to help victims and their children. You can do this by going to our website. Our new website is up and running at www.jotasa.org, and that will be JADASA.org, where you can hit the PayPal donate button, or you can go to the PayPal me / JADASA.org, one word, JADASA.org. Or we also have Cash App, which is the $STL, JADASA, where your donations are fully taxed. So before we get into tonight's podcast, I want to remind our viewers about a couple of things that we have coming on the horizon. I want you to know that registration is now open, and we have girls registering for our developer program, for our fall 2021 developer program. This program is an 8 Saturday morning program for girls ages 10 through 19. We teach about basics of entrepreneurship, where they can learn how to create mobile apps, and we also have weekly group circles that discuss social issues such as attitudes and self-esteem and peer pressure, things that our girls deal with on a daily basis. And also, space is limited for this program, so we want you, if you have anybody that you want to participate, we're asking you to go out there on that website after this podcast. And also, we're going to have something else coming up, too. Every quarter, at the end of a quarter, I am going to do a 5-hour workshop for women. So if you want to talk about business, you want to talk about how to get your business up and running, and you want to create an app for your business, I am going to do this workshop for women every quarter, because I've had a lot of people asking, when are you going to do something for women? We like this, what you're doing for the girls, but we want to learn this as well. Well, Jotasa is going to be doing that as well. So be on the lookout for that flyer as well. Also, we are going to be starting up our women's support group circle, and this is a sister circle where we come in, we talk about issues, we share, we provide resources. We just there. We just going to be a part of, as they're saying, I am my sister's keeper. I am my sister's keeper. Well, we're switching it and we're turning around, because it's going to be retroactive. It's something we're going to constantly keep doing. And so it's going to be called Keeping My Sister, because we're going to keep keeping each other. We're going to. And so that's going to start September the 15th. And it's going to be every Wednesday from 7 to 8:30 p.m., Keeping My Sister. We want to keep each other in whatever area or things that we're going through. We are going to be here and be there for you and be here for each other. So we are going to have this starting up on the 15th of September, which will be every Wednesday. So I want you to head on over to the website after this podcast and register your daughters, your granddaughters, your sisters, or your nieces, or your friends for this fall workshop. And also look out for the Keeping My Sister support group circle, because we are going to ask that you provide your information if you want to come. And when you come to the building, we are going to ask you for ID. And that is for our protection as well as your protection as well. So I just wanted to get that out there. And then also, I want to correct something that I mentioned last week about the two women who were killed in the Ferguson home breaking in. And I was talking about it, and if you remember back then, I was talking about, you know, it was related to domestic abuse, but I didn't have any particular information at that time. And so since then, the story has come out that they reported that this story was not a result of a domestic violence. So I do want to clear that up because I did put it out last week, but the two women that was killed in Ferguson home break-in, it was not a result of a domestic violence incident. So again, I want to clear that up. So let's get started. Tonight, I want to discuss about another type of abuse and just kind of hone in on this about survivors. And it's about domestic violence survivors often suffer financial abuse. And so that's something, you know, because when I even talk to people and listen to people, and we are always trying to advocate for folks and asking people for money. Of course, we ask for money because we're a nonprofit. And every dollar that comes into the organization goes out to the organization, goes out to our survivors and to the community and to things of that nature. And so a lot of people, you know, they want to know, you know, where is the money going, or they kind of apprehensive. And so, you know, people that's going through abuse, you know, they deal with financial issues. And we're going to kind of go into in-depth about this. But I do want to clarify that when an organization is raising money for awareness, or they're doing something and they're asking you for resources, or they're putting out T-shirts or anything, don't try to downplay or downtalk the amount, because that money is for a purpose. For example, you know, there's a radio station every year, maybe every year or every twice a year, every, you know, biannually, they put on a some kind of platform, and you pay money, and they'll say, you know, okay, for $250, you know, one person, two people for $500, and you get these T-shirts. Now, of course, the T-shirt doesn't cost $250. That's a very expensive T-shirt. But the thing is not to focus on the T-shirt. The thing is to focus on keeping the radio station on air so they can continue to service the market. This is a particular Christian radio. Keeping the service on air, keeping the music in the airways. Your $250 is helping them keep the music on the airways, but because of your $250, we're going to give you a T-shirt. Now, the T-shirt didn't cost $250. And so if we can think that way when an organization, a different type of nonprofit can, you know, raise awareness and ask for people to donate, we need you guys to keep that same mindset when we're talking about abuse. If a T-shirt is $25 or $50, it's not the T-shirt. We're asking you to invest into the cause, but yet because you are investing in the cause, we're going to give you a T-shirt or a mask or whatever it is. And so we have to change our thought about that. So I just thought I would throw that out there, because domestic violence survivors, they do suffer abuse, you know, they different types, but we're talking about financial abuse tonight. And so this story I kind of read, it came out on the 17th, you know, last week, August, I'm sorry, and I was kind of reading up on it, and I just want to share some of the things that bring home VAWA Act, the Victims Against Women Act. And so this particular story that I'm going to share, I'm going to, you know, keep the person anonymous, and this story is about a victim whose husband almost killed her when she tried to leave. And at this time, when he tried to kill her, she had sustained more than 30 stab wounds on her body, and she was in the hospital for about 10 days. And then although she recovered from this, and she went through real rehabilitation and all this stuff, her finances suffered, and it wasn't just because she was out of work. I'm just going to go into walk you down through her particular scenario, because her particular scenario is not out of the norm. It is not unique, as I'm saying. And so she talks about in the early years of her marriage, you know, the victim struggled to even afford diapers, and reached out to different charities such as the Catholic Charities. You know, we have the Catholic Charities here, and food banks to feed her two young daughters. So her husband, who managed the money, the household money, was using her income as an office manager for home utility costs. So she thought. Now, first of all, I'm not going to get into whether you should let the man or the husband, the wife manage the money. That is not what I'm saying here, because there are relationships that do agree that the man manage the money, or some relationship where the woman manage the money. Whoever manages the money the best, that's who should manage it. Or, you know, so I'm just talking about when there is abuse. See, financial stability is not financial abuse. It's because the abuse is behind the word financial. This is why we're talking about it. So if your husband is managing the household money and he's doing right by it and you okay, that is fine. And vice versa, if you are managing the money for the family and the husband is in agreement with it, that's fine. So I don't want you to take what I'm saying and say, well, you know, she's saying, you know, the man shouldn't be holding money. No, that's not what I'm saying. Don't put words in my mouth. So I'm trying to clarify that. It is okay if that works for your marriage. I'm not getting into that. I'm talking about when it becomes financial abuse, and I'm bringing up this particular victim for a reason. And so this time, even though he was managing the money, he was buying things they just couldn't afford, this particular victim said. And when she realized he wasn't managing the money very well and he was buying things, you know, based on what he wanted, it cost her. And so when the relationship ended, she realized that her abuser had accumulated thousands of dollars in debt for unpaid bills. He didn't pay for them. He had even taken out a credit card in her name, and he accrued about $20,000 in debt. And so this is abuse, because financial abuse is called financial abuse, which is controlling or coercive behavior that breaks down a domestic violence survival material life. Why? Because you need money. Even the Bible says money answers all things. That's the Bible. But I'm going to italicize and take all things. I'm just going to drop it for a minute and say it again. Money answers. And so with that being said in the Bible, money is not evil. Money is not evil. But the love of it is evil. See, when you love it so much, when you'll do anything, break any laws and do whatever to get it, then that's when it becomes evil. So, you know, we're not here to do Bible study, but I just wanted to bring that out. Financial abuse is when somebody is controlling the money that breaks, and they're coercing your behavior. They're coercing, have coercive behaviors where they take over the money, they take over the pocketbook, where it breaks down a survivor's material life. And when I say breaks down a survivor's material life, what do I mean? By creating astronomical debt, buying stuff up, not allowing them access to the income. You want to give them an allowance, but they working, not allowing them access to income, or harassing somebody at their job until they are fired. Those are all controlling mechanisms that falls under financial abuse. Now, while psychological and physical abuse impacts a survivor, keep survivors in abusive relationships, yeah, because it can become a dependent thing or a codependent thing, just like drugs and alcohol. But financial abuse also can keep them in an abusive relationship, because it creates a cycle of struggle, a constant effort to rebuild credit or to get a job after years out of work. When, you know, it's a controlling mechanism, because one, if you're out of a job, and you're constantly losing your job, okay, people want to know why, right? You're constantly struggling trying to keep bills, and they done messed up your credit, so now you can't even get credit to get a car or apartment or something. Now you're stuck. You're stuck with them, or you're stuck needing them, and you stay in that situation even longer than what you wanted to. And so a lot of those mechanisms can drive somebody back to an abuser, because if you don't have no money, especially if you got kids too, okay, who gonna take you with your 2, 3, 4, 5 kids? And let's not even go there. Who gonna take you with your one kid nowadays? You know, so financial abuse is out there, and we need to understand the ramifications of it and what does it entail. Now, this victim, after she finally officially divorced her husband, the financial burden that he had amassed, all that credit card debt, all the things that he did during the marriage fell on her because it was in his name and it was in her name and some of the stuff was in her name. And now, because she has to pay for this stuff, this has become a daily reminder of what she had gone through constantly. Now it's dealing with your psyche and your emotions, because you got to go and try to go behind him and clean up his mess, pretty much, or her mess. So forms of economic, and this economic abuse, financial economics, pretty much the same, is like coerced debt, coerced. They force you into debt. They force you into allowing them to use your credit card. It's forced, or sabotaging your job. And when I say sabotaging a job, every time you look around, they calling you. If you can't get phone calls on your job, they constantly calling you. And then your boss saying, okay, you know, I don't know what's going on, but we're going to have to let you go. Now you don't have a job. Guess what? You're back home with him. And so these forms of abuse, like sabotaging a job, making financial decisions that just benefit one person and not the other, in the marriage is very difficult to prove and is rarely prosecuted, because how can they determine, oh, well, this particular debt you got, he got it without you. How can he prove that? How can that be proven? And so this particular director of the Domestic Violence Unit and a Legal Aid Society is saying that it's hard to show evidence, because if the debt is in the survivor's name and his name, how do we know that it wasn't a mutual decision for both of you all? And then if it was in your name, the survivor name, and not the abuser name, who's to say that you didn't agree to have him to manage the money? So it becomes muddied water how to even prove that. But we have to figure out how can the courts view economic abuse, change how the courts view economic abuse. First of all, it begins with recognition in legislation to realize that there is such a thing as economic or financial abuse. And we're going to talk about that. The first thing is to recognize it in legislation. Everything always go back to legislation. Always go back, because that's the way they make the laws. So the Violence Against Women Act, when I was talking about the VAWA, the Violence Against Women Act of 1994 was a groundbreaking, it was a law. And what it was, the law enhanced legal and community responses to domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. And what it is, it authorized grants to states, local, and tribal organizations to help women or men who were victims of this type of violence. And so now the VAWA, the Violence Against Women Act, has been reauthorized three times since 1994, most recently in 2013 under President Barack Obama. But now, and I'm going to tell you about what reauthorization means so we can all be on the same page. It has been reauthorized since 1994 three times. So in 2019, the House voted to reauthorize the law for 5 years. And when we talk about reauthorization, so let me go back right here. The Violence Against Women Act reauthorization of 2021 mentions several issues addressed in the bill. This reauthorization will reauthorize, which means will allow funding for programs, allow new programs to get money from 2022 to 2026. It also will amend and add definitions used in the Violence Against Women programs. It's going to amend federal criminal law relating to firearms, well, you know, with survivors and abusers having firearms. It means laws about custodial rape and stalking. Then it expands jurisdiction over certain crimes committed on tribal lands, you know, that, you know, if you have like a tribal land or Indian territory. It deal with culturally specific needs, like stuff from maybe African Americans or whatever, Hispanics, culturally specific needs, and it adds programs to address housing and financial needs among survivors. So they added that. So in 2019, the House voted to reauthorize the law for 5 years. So all the stuff I just mentioned, amending those definitions about firearms and custodial rape and stalking and tribal lands and culturally specific needs and financial and housing assistance for survivors, that's all in that reauthorization. So in 2019, the House voted to reauthorize that for 5 years, which means to put all this stuff in act, to allow programs to use money if somebody that's been dealing with that or somebody is suffering abuse, if one of those categories I just mentioned, they can get money under this act. But the Secretary then Senate, but then the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell never brought the reauthorization to the floor. He did not bring it to the floor. I tell you, it starts with authorization. It starts with legislation. But on March the 17th of 2021, this year, the House passed the 2021 reauthorization. So that's great, but let's not just get all head over heels, because the Senate has not taken it up yet. Now, they passed it on the 17th of March this year about the reauthorization, adding all these programs, allowing new programs to come in, amending some of these laws, and adding different things that's going to help survivors. They passed that at the House on the 17th of March this year, but the Senate has not taken it up yet. So on July the 30th, almost a dozen Democratic senators, including Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota and Elizabeth Warren, released a letter asking Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to reauthorize the act. Yeah. Well, they mentioned it last week on the 17th of August. This is August the 23rd, so I haven't seen anything updated as of yet, but we're going to watch it. We're going to watch it. So it says lawyers and advocates have wanted a mention of economic abuse in the VAWA, the Violence Against Women's Act. We want that mention in this act, because if it's mentioned in that act, then we can provide services to survivors who are struggling from economic abuse or financial abuse. And we are eagerly anticipating the passage of this 2021 reauthorization in the Senate. When it's going to happen, but we're watching. And so the 2021 version that they just reenacted in March, and Amy Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren are all asking Chuck Schumer to release this letter, asking them to reauthorize it. This version will include the definition of economic abuse as behavior that is coercive, deceptive, or unreasonably controls or restrains a person's ability to acquire, use, or maintain economic resources to which they are entitled. That is going to be in the 2021 version. That is what the House passed, but we're waiting on the Senate to do something. Why is stuff always hung up in the Senate? I just don't know. So by giving that recognition of economic abuse, giving that recognition, it allows advocates and people in powerful positions at state levels to argue that the VAWA, the VAWA, the Violence Against Women Act, recognizes economic abuse in is a first and necessary step. Now, the last reauthorized version does help with some of the components of economic abuse, because if someone who keeps losing their job because their intimate partner stalks them at work, would have been recognized in the version because stalking is recognized. So if somebody is constantly calling your job or constantly, like you said, coming to your job and causing you to lose your job, then it kind of falls under stalking. And stalking is already listed as in that act as violence against women. So that pretty much kind of falls under that. And so VAWA grants money to legal services and people who cannot afford counsel because financial abuse would have access to funds. So if they don't have access to funds because you done lost your job because your abuser keep calling your job and they stalking you, then that helps the case. But this director said that recognizing economic abuse as a separate form of domestic violence, so you can't say, oh, it's just economic abuse. No, it has to be coupled with something else. So right now, if somebody calling you, you can say it's still stalking, but because of the stalking, you lost your job, and now it has created an issue for economic abuse for you. That still will work under VAWA because it is linked to stalking. But you just can't say there is a separate form of abuse of there's a separate form of domestic violence called economic abuse. That won't help. But because it's in there and because it's in this new 2021 act, it does give the attorneys strength in their case. When they're citing it, they say, hey, you know, we could say this is economic abuse because of this, because it's in the Violence Against Women Act. And so also even with different organizations who works with domestic violence agents, they may not understand all the ramifications and all the legal jargon around economic abuse, but if they see economic abuse under VAWA, V-A-W-A, that means they can service people who saying that they can't pay for their bills because they lost their job. If it's under there and it's listed, they can service them. So defining economic abuse in legislation, on that, talking to Chuck Schumer and all them, it won't necessarily help survivors get out of a coerced debt or regain financial stability, you know, because, again, that would be hard to say what was coerced and what wasn't, because nobody was in your house. Nobody was there when you all made that decision or when he made the decision or when she made the decision. So it doesn't help that way as far as getting out of coerced debt, but it can offer a foundation to build on, because financial well-being is crucial to leaving an abusive relationship. Because if you don't have financial well-being, if you don't have the finances to leave, then how are you going to establish an independent life? How are you going to get back on your feet if you can't even get from up under the bills that the abuser has created in your name or in both of y'all names, and they just decide to walk away? Because remember, the sort of common characteristics of financial abuse is still one of control. It is, because the abuser is trying to place as much control over somebody's life as possible. And financial abuse is a very effective way of doing that. Because, if you don't have the money, you can't do nothing. And the Bible says the money answers. Money answers all things. But I'm cutting off all things, money answers. So if we don't have financial freedom, it's hard to function in our society. Again, money answers all things. And building up debt in someone's name, having a poor credit history, is really a difficult barrier to overcome. And so accumulating debt, you know, these things, these barriers, they are, it's like destroying somebody's credit, accumulating debt, harassing the person at work to get them fired. These are all considered methods of entrapment, because they're trying to entrap you where you can't go anywhere. You can't, you can't move forward without them, because they have taken all of the financial independence away from you. And if you have kids by them or kids with them, then you are more susceptible to try to stay and hang it out because of the situation you're in. I don't know about you. I've been in a situation before where I didn't have any money. I couldn't go anywhere. And I'm going to tell you, when you broke, you are not happy. I'll put it like this. When I'm broke, I'm not happy. When I'm broke, I'm depressed because you can't get things done. And I know money, the Bible says money answers all things, and yes, that is true too. And I also ask for favor because sometimes favor can move places and get you in places where money can't. So we still need money, but we also need favor. And so the side, you know, even if that you're trying to escape, the survivor may be safe from continued emotional and physical harm. But when you have coerced debt or when you have financial bills where the abuser has just stacked them on you, that can accumulate for years after the abusive relationship ends. That means you still, he gone, you got rid of him, you done went, gone about your business. But guess what? That debt is still staring you in your face. It's still staring you in your face. Trying to prove, again, that that debt that you have in your name isn't yours, it's extremely difficult. So it's like on one end, you may not have no money. But then on the other end, you owe a lot of money, one or the other. And so financial abuse is real. It is real. But we need to monitor that to see what this next reauthorization will do as far as the 2021 VAWA, Violence Against Women's Act. Of course, again, the House passed it in March of this year, March the 17th. Matter of fact, isn't it? I believe that is St. Patrick's Day. It passed it then. It's still hung up and waiting on the Senate to do something. So they need to make some changes. They need to add that financial, that economic abuse, if added under that VAWA, Violence Against Women's Act. Once it's there, programs can service survivors who are struggling with financial abuse because it is listed under the act. And if it's listed under the act, those are the things that we can service survivors in programs. So if the new version passes, experts and advocates say it could lay the foundation for solutions to come. I'm sure it will. Why are they sitting on their hands? Who knows? But we need to make sure can push the envelope. So as for the survivor that I mentioned at the top of this podcast, she diligently paid off the debt that her ex-husband had accumulated for years. After she left him, she ended up negotiating with some of the companies and others. She just buckled down and she just paid the debt that was in her name because at the time there was no other solution to do so but to do that. But again, we are waiting, we are listening, looking, we are excited, and we are in expectation of this new version. And again, we just can hope and pray that the Senate do what's best for these survivors who are struggling. You know, if we don't put all this stuff in this bill, we pretty much as society are re-victimizing them. We're re-traumatizing them because, you know, they're already going through all the stuff and then they constantly got to deal with something else when we can just service them. So, again, we're looking for them to pass this new version because, again, it will be the foundation for solutions to come today, tomorrow, and in the future. Remember, financial abuse is still a part of domestic abuse. So if you or someone you know is a victim of domestic violence and abuse, we ask you to call the help hotline number at 1-800-799-7233. I'm sorry, 1-800-799-7233 or thehotline.org. And I'm going to leave you with this scripture that I think it is so befitting. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. And it is to give you an expected end. God says he is thinking some thoughts towards you, and these are some thoughts of peace. He's thinking some good thoughts towards you. No matter what you've been through, what you're going through, your hiccups, your mess-ups, your trip-ups, he is thinking some thoughts towards you, and those thoughts are peace. And they're not an evening. And why? He wants to give you an expected end. He wants your end to be what you expect it to be. And that is a mighty good God we serve. So remember, Jadasa is the community. You are the community. Therefore, you are Jadasa. It's Jadasa 24/7, 365, all day, every day. With that being said, I want you to be safe. I want you to be well. And I want you to be whole. Good night.